You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, good day to you all. I know it's going to be a good one for you. I just know I'm psychic. Well, actually, I'm not, but this is Dr. Michelle. Welcome to my couch, as we do every day about this time on Fridays. Of course, you can listen to me on downloads any doggone time you want. It's your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. And as usual, we talk about so many different cool psychological things on the air. Whatever it is, it's up for grabs. And you get to do it by calling me live on the air if you wish. Of course, you can write me too. And you can ask questions. And then what I do is I answer them to help other listeners as well. What do we talk about? Relationships is the biggie, but we also talk about how to deal with stuff going on in our lives besides relationships. We talk about problems we're having with our kids, problems we're having with other people, and stuff within us that we're hanging on to, whatever it is. Give me a call if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you. The number here in our beautiful Studio Cities studio is 323 area code 203-0815. The number again, 323-203-0815. That's where to find me. Love to hear from you. And I've got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to talk to back to some people who've written me on the air about some of their issues, you know, that are going on. Also, I have a special feature today that I call Celebrities with Big Time Issues, just to name a few. We'll be talking about American Idol's Paula Abdul and her supposed rehab that she went through. Also, actor Kiefer Sutherland's latest outburst, lack of impulse control from his drinking. Chris Brown, his lawyer's pissed off about something. Also, we're going to be talking about Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice. I really can't wait to talk about Joan Rivers, because I've dealt with her before in person. She really is like that. Yeah, that's her true colors. Yep. Also, I'm going to give you in the Celebrities with Issues, we have the worst celebrity moms who took part in the ParentDish.com's Mother's Day poll. Worst, actually, and best celebrity moms on the list. So that'll be kind of fun to talk about. Also, you can find me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com. That's Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. And that way you can find out what I'm about. And I'm talking about making positive life changes. I do cognitive, behavioral, psychodynamic, all that stuff. We work with every individual and try to knock off their problems as they come and treat each one very seriously with no judgment, of course. I want to establish that you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship here on the air. Need to do that. It's important. This is for just advice, entertainment, stuff like that. I'll help you out if I can. But also other people learn too, and they call in and they ask questions and they get information. And or you can write me. You can link on to my email address at my website, but you can find me if you'd like to write a question or issues or problems or whatever, at docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And I'll be happy, you know, to answer a question that you may have. And maybe what I'll do is ask if we can tackle this problem on the air as well, if you want me to actually answer your stuff on the air, which many listeners do. You know, I get back to you and we just talk about it on the air. I'll just help you out. Or, like I said, you can call me at the number, which is 323-203-0815. Now, besides checking out celebrities with serious issues today, I'm also going to give you some of the answers to Why can't I find the right person? Why can't, Dr. Michelle, why can't I find the right person? First, you have to determine what it is you want in a relationship, what kind of person you want. Okay. And then you have to determine what the big deal breakers are for you. So you're not hanging along. You're not, you know, doing the drama, hanging on to a really, you know, bad relationship, something that's going to be destructive to you in the long run, and or that you might, you know, become addicted to the drama in, things like that. So you're not codependent. And, you know exactly what you want and define the deal breakers and then get out of the relationship if those deal breakers rear their ugly heads. You go. And then you've also got to decide what things that you're willing to put up with. What am I willing to put up with? Because no relationship is perfect. We always have to put up with stuff from people. You see? So we have to make calls as decisions as to what we'd like to put up with. Because we always have. And yet, by the way, you also have to realize that you cannot change anyone before going into a relationship. You can't change anybody. No. And a lot of women, they meet guys, you know, who are pretty neat people and they may be marriage material. But they don't like certain things about them and they think, you know what, I'm going to change him. I'm going to change that about them. When we get into the relationship, you think you're going to change traits and things in people before you're going into a serious relationship? Just forget about it. Don't even try. Because why? You don't want to do all that work. And people don't change anyway, usually. They'll resent the hell out of you at the end. So, you know, going in, don't try to change or think you're going to change someone. Okay. All right. That's a good idea. What else? Oh, and you know what else I can share with you? Something that I've observed is that maybe it's your personality that's pushing away people. Maybe it's, that's right, me? You got to be kidding me. I have issues. Maybe it's my problem. What you have to do is take a look and, you know, see if maybe your personality is pushing people away. And I'll give you some of the examples of personality problems that you may be having. That you're, you know, what are you doing that might be blowing away people? People don't want to, maybe people don't want to talk to you. Maybe people don't want to be with you because you have some nasty habits and you need changing them. Possibly. I don't know. Whatever. All right. We have a caller on the line. Let's check it out, see what's going on. Good morning. You're with Dr. Michelle on the air. Hi. Who's this?
Hi. Hi. This is John.
Hey, John. How are you today?
I am, well, yeah, I've been better, actually.
Okay. So that's why you're calling me.
That is why I'm calling you.
All right. Well, it's nice to have you here with me. I thank you for calling.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, you know, I read the newspapers and it's doom and more gloom.
Yeah.
I watch the news and it's gloom and more doom.
Yes.
And I'm beside myself. I'm trying to show a stiff upper lip to my my family. Work is really, can I say, well, I'll say bad.
Yeah.
And I just need a way of staying positive.
Okay. All right, John. Yeah. So we're talking mainly about the economy. You know, financial stuff is getting you down right now.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The financial stuff in the world.
Okay. Are you like most men who sound like, so you said you have a family, so good guy. Mm-hmm. You're working to support a family, and you're both your wife and you are trying to cope with this right now. So, like most men, do you think this is your fault?
Well, yeah.
Do you have a lot of guilt? Are you blaming yourself for this?
I am, actually.
Why are you blaming yourself?
Well, because I've always managed before.
Right.
But and this, now I'm not managing so well.
Yeah. But before was different because it was really a lot better and a lot easier, you know? So may I ask what business you're in? You don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
If you don't want to.
Well, it's. I sell funeral arrangements and things.
No, aren't people just dying to get into that industry? I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. You've already made me feel better.
I've really. I've really wanted to, you know, say that for so long. And you can never do that in family company. So I just, I'm so sorry.
No, you can't.
Well, you know what? the economy, as you know, is tough for everybody in every business. Every business. So it's not your fault, right? You're not a gambler, correct? You don't gamble away the family's money, okay? You're not a drug addict. You're not doing evil things.
I'm thinking about starting.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. But you're not doing things to, peel for the money away and ruin your family. You're just trying to make a living here and deal with what's going on in the economy.
Right? Absolutely.
All right. Now, does your wife work?
Yes.
Okay, so she's working hard too. All right. Well, that's cool. That's good. So you both are a team. You're trying to make ends meet and everything. And it is one of the most common problems with couples. You know, is arguing about finances and all that. But
we don't argue. We're not actually. You know, she understands. She knows. She has a coworker.
Yeah.
Whose husband is in construction.
Okay.
And he does. I'm not even sure. I don't think I've ever met the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's only worked there for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he does some kind of construction. I'm not sure what. And he's licensed and all that.
Yeah.
He's let his insurance lapse. He can't pay for it. He's let a number of other things go. And he tried to work in a restaurant that lasted one day. Tried getting up to deliver newspapers because it was $300 a week or $250 a week, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he overslept.
Oh, bless his heart! You got to give him kudos for trying so hard and doing all that.
Yeah. And so he's just hanging out right now at home.
Right.
Not doing anything.
Right. Well, that's tough, you know, and that's the thing. But getting back to you now, okay, so you got the blues, it's tough for you, you know, and everything, you know, it's a what I hear from so many people in my practice, when people come into my office, is the main theme, it used to be my relationships, it used to be my kids, it used to be my depression, my anxiety, my self-esteem, now it's the economy's getting me down, you know, I can barely make ends meet and things like that, so... It's what's going on. We're all faced with it, and you know, even very wealthy people are having to, believe it or not, suffer more than they ever have.
Well, I saw a news report about somebody. This was all the way back at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
He had a Rolex that was worth that he paid $10,000 for.
Mm.
I mean, I've got a little Timex. I think I paid $995.
Yeah.
And so he took it to a pawn shop and they gave him $750.
Oh God, that hurts. Ugh.
And
that's painful.
Yeah.
That's very painful. But I mean, in these times, people are doing what they have to do. Now for you, you know it's when we're faced with things like this that are happening around us. We're trying to cope. We're trying to pay the minimums on, you know, the credit cards, and we're trying to deal with the mortgage companies so we can come to some kind of an arrangement for the time being. And a lot of course, lenders are doing that, which is great. But so this comes down to the concept of things we can and can't control in our lives, right?
It's more than that. It's, you know, you go out and because I'm in the selling industry.
Yes.
People say something last year or 2 years ago would go for, say, $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
They want company, my company, wants $2,400,
mm-hmm.
and the people want to pay $16,000.
Okay,
and my job is to bridge the gap, and I end up making $150 or $200 on that kind of a sale that I should have been making, $400 or $500.
Right, No, I hear you. I hear you. And this is the thing nowadays, too, with everybody. It's like, well, I should have been, but we're all kind of learning to accept what we can and give other people breaks, too, and we're just having to eat it.
Right.
You know. So what we can control and what we can't control are biggies in our lives. So what we can't control, right, is the economy and its issues and what else? We can't control other people's actions. Well, we can try physically, I guess. We can't control
right.
other people's thoughts. The only thing, what are some of the only things we can control? Our emotions,
well,
right?
I'm sorry, you dropped out there.
We can control, and maybe the volume is up on your computer, I'm not sure, or your iPod, maybe? Maybe that's
no.
Okay,
no.
I'm sorry.
No, nothing.
Okay, cool.
Nothing is playing here.
I won't accuse you of that. Anyway, what can we control? You have to look at, this is what I tell a lot of people in this society right now, what we're dealing with is try to really, really focus on the things you can control. That's what makes us feel better. What can we control? Emotions, outbursts, thoughts, feelings. We can control those. Things we can do for ourselves that may make us feel better to try to cope with the financial stress. So what are some things that you used to cope or have in the past when problems strike?
I haven't.
Yeah.
That's my
problem.
You
haven't had to.
I haven't had to.
Okay.
This is brand new for me.
Yeah.
It's like being in the Depression or reading about it.
Right. So you're how would you describe your feelings about this? How would you describe your feelings?
About
the state of financial affairs that you're dealing with. So what are some of the feelings that are coming up for you about this?
Well, I think, you know, like many people, it's not good. It's crappy.
So you're feeling sad, depressed,
powerless? Sad, depressed, mm-hmm. Looking for another thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. to throw newspapers.
No.
I would do it if I had to,
mm-hmm.
and I it may come to that.
Yeah, yeah. So you're willing to take alternatives if, you know, if it gets so bad. Are you starting to sort of eke out there and look at some alternatives possibly?
Yeah, the newspapers,
okay.
Restaurants,
sure. Okay.
Local drugstore had a sign up. I thought,
Okay.
I walked into it's funny, I walked into a drugstore and I saw this guy. He has to be maybe a little bit older than I am, in his early to mid-50s,
right.
Maybe late-50s, mm-hmm. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
I can't tell what a 17-year-old kid looks like anymore, and I can't tell what a 50-year-old kid looks like. But I walked in to this drugstore, and as I walked in, he said, "Hello, sir. Have a great day."
Right.
And I got to tell you, it made my day.
Yeah.
And I've gone back looking for him. He hasn't been on. Okay. I just want him to say hi to me.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's kind of an
that
upper.
Made me feel good.
Right. Well, there you go.
And
okay.
He's obviously there because he was downsized in some business.
Right. Right, exactly. Okay, so maybe the point is, what are the ways you can make yourself feel better? Well, you are possibly looking for other opportunities out there, things that you would be willing to do, which would give you a little more strength and control and may depress you a little bit because you'd be backpedaling on your career. But,
right.
You know, kind of come to the realization that many, many people are doing that right now, and we all just have to tighten up the belt buckle and hang in there for a little bit, because I do think it's going to get better. I mean, that's easy for me to say, but financial experts have told me just to hang in there. Summer's going to be looking really good. In terms
you think
of
it's
how
going to be looking...
In terms
there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow,
I wouldn't say
Dr.
the gold.
Michelle?
I wouldn't say the gold, John, but I would say that we're looking at... a lot more housing sales. There's, of course, you can see the trend happening already. And I think the banks are really bending over backwards to try to make lending easier for people because they're the only people that are doing it right now. But I think there are a lot of, you'll see a lot of changes. And it's things have to change. Come on now. They can't get any worse. So let's talk about...
don't say that.
They can't. No, we're done. Okay. So besides planning and looking out there at things that you might be able to do for yourself and you are willing to do, you know, there's some sense of control. If you get something and you are sort of helping out, your wife's working, you said, paying the bills, you know, trying to hang in there, negotiate, get a financial advisor who can maybe help negotiate paying off or slowly making payments. And,
right.
You know, do the things you can do for you as well, besides all that other financial stuff. You know,
well,
try...
it's I've stopped watching the news. I mean,
that'll work.
This sounds really bad, but I only care about me and my family and my friends.
Okay.
And so I don't watch the news like I used to.
Right.
I don't read about it like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of ignoring it because maybe it'll go away. And I don't know if that's like being an ostrich and burying my head in the sand or not.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes, you know what they say is the more you think and hear about something, it just breeds, it grows, it becomes part of us. So it's just negativity. And of course, that's what news is about these days is, you know, that's the way we... That's the way that we get viewers and listeners as we talk about the negatives and people. It's kind of like, you know, more drama. We like the drama. But sometimes it's overwhelming because we are hearing about how terrible it is out there financially and we're living it. You know, where there comes to a point, I've heard this from a lot of people. They don't want to hear it or talk about it anymore. They don't want to watch the news anymore. It's such a downer. So that's fine. That's cool. You know, knowing what's going on, I think is great a little bit in the news. But I mean, when it turns to this continual negativity, it's like, walk away. You know, protect yourself from it. You know what you're dealing with. You know what you're going through. You don't have to have somebody, you know, from the financial channel telling you what a horrible day it is. Wake up and smell the poverty.
Well, that's it. And that's what I've been doing or trying to do. And then somebody will say, you know, did you get, where are you putting your IRA? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with this? Mm-hmm. What, you know, it's just a real, it's very down.
Right.
It's very depressing.
It is. It is.
On all of that.
Yeah, I know. So some of the things, I understand, some of the things that you can do for you. What can you do for you? What can you do for you? Okay, the no-brainers like exercise, you know, gets the endorphins kicking and stirs up some of those hormones, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Get some of those chemicals moving. Get family support. You know, get a lot of, financially if you can, that's great. But, you know, emotional support. Do more, try to get along more with, you know, family members so y'all are going through the same thing and you can talk about that, you know. Do the things for you. Find things that you enjoy peacefully. Guy stuff. I don't know what it is. What makes you feel good? What are some of the things that you like to do? That,
right now, vodka's been making me feel
good. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hobbies, video.
Well, I mean, exercising is good, and I try not. I don't even want to talk about the situation.
No.
I just want to get through it.
Right. Okay. So defocus. Do stuff. Are you stressed? Do you have a lot of stress?
Absolutely.
Okay. So besides exercising, you can do some like self-hypnosis. You can go online and you can find all these cool self-hypnosis tools, you know, to relax yourself when you get up and or if you're stressed or at the end of the day.
Do you have any of those?
Yeah, you can. You know, what's really a cool thing is there's like a thing called autogenic therapy. It's abbreviated autogenic therapy. And it's what it is it's visualization of relaxing major muscle groups. And it's you lay down and you relax and you breathe. You got to learn how to breathe too. You know, the slow in through.
I'm not a good breather.
Oh,
I've
okay.
been told that.
Well, it's not what your wife says. you know, you've got to learn how to, you know, breathe for your health and relax your autonomic nervous system. So you breathe slowly in through your nose and very slowly out through your mouth, and you do that kind of the diaphragm breathing, you know, and you do it very slowly, and it kind of gets you lightheaded. You're getting oxygenated, and you're doing it for, you know, 7 times in a row. You're laying down or sitting in your easy chair, and then you can start to visualize your arms as being like heavy and warm, and your arms are completely letting go, and then you can go down to your legs. You can do one at a time if that makes you feel better. You know, left arm, left, right arm, whatever. But I like to do the cluster of muscle groups. It goes faster, and especially if you've been doing it a while. So, and you can go to your legs, are heavy and warm, and your legs are letting go. And your torso, your body, your glutes up to your chest are heavy and warm, and you're letting go. And then your shoulders up to your head are heavy and warm and letting go. So you talk out loud or you think these things, and you just really produce a sense of heaviness and the sense of warmth, which is always so associated with comfort and just letting go within your body. And it does help manage the stress in between. And of course, you can do things like exercise, which are great. And you can learn how to, if you have supportive family members or you have friends, buddies, rabbis, whoever, you can talk to counselors, whatever, therapists, you can talk to. It's really important to verbalize your frustrations. I know you don't like to talk about, a lot of people fetch about what's going on, and I don't want to seem like a complainer, but you know what? We all need to be heard. So if you have some supportive people who you can talk to, that's wonderful as well. You know, be able to talk about it. And then do what you can do to control you. Like I said, the healthy exercise. You know, eat right, get enough sleep. You got to get enough sleep.
I haven't been sleeping well either. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, you know what? What a concept. Because you need that REM time. You need time to repair your tissues. You know, you need downtime, and you need, you know, our brains are like a computer. You need that REM time to sort things out.
Let's figure this out. I went to bed at about 12:45.
Okay.
And I got up at 6, and I think I got out of bed at about 6:15, like that.
All right, so you've had about 5 hours of sleep.
Right.
Not enough REM time, probably.
It's not.
No, not for people, not for human beings. I think probably, I love 7. Optimal 8? Boy, if you can do that, you're in good shape. You know, that's a really good idea. Are you having insomnia?
I have, I do, and at the same time, I my thinking is always, you can sleep when you're dead.
No, I know. No? I know a lot of people who think like that. They think they're missing stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, I never wanted to go to bed early because Mom and Dad were breaking out the goodies or watching a great something on TV.
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's okay. But, you know, we do need sleep, and as adults, we really need sleep, especially to cope with stress and depression and all that stuff. And especially if we're going to kind of start working or looking for other jobs in the economy right now, we need that strength. So we do need our sleep and our rest. So, I don't know, go to your general practitioner and get a sleep med. You know, I'm cool with that for a little while.
Got it.
Whatever works to get you down. That's my theory.
down sleeping, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea.
Well, good. I'm glad I could be of help. I am not a medical doctor, but I'm just saying whatever can get you to, rest properly, whatever can,
Can I ask you one last question?
Sure.
The anxiety attacks, you know, that at least I feel it is. My heart starts racing and pounding and I get really upset and nervous, and I shut myself in my little place in my house, and I tell people, leave me the heck alone. And
are you having full-blown panic attacks, you think?
Well, I don't think they're full-blown. Okay. I don't know.
You
I
just have palpitations? Well, we're looking at some of the symptoms. You'd have palpitations. You might have tremor. You might start sweating. You might feel like you're going crazy. Of course, you have shortness of breath.
A couple of those, but not all of them.
Well, you feel like you're out of control, like, oh my God, I can't control this.
And, oh yeah,
you know, there's medication. Absolutely. There's medication for managing panic symptoms. If you are diagnosed with, I don't know how many. It's something like I don't have my DSM in front of me, but something like 6 out of the 8, 4 symptoms out of 8 or 6 listed. If you have those, you can, you probably are experiencing panic attacks of some kind. So you can go to your GP again and find out what medications might help you with that as well. And, just temporary stuff to help manage. And do the breathing. Breathing helps. That's the best, cheapest and most effective way to shut the light off on the autonomic nervous system of, the heart racing and the sweating and just focus on your breathing. Think about it.
Got it.
It's focusing on something in the moment. So if you breathe through the nose,
it gives you, it helps put you back in control.
Well, it helps you get control of your bodily symptoms. It can. And again, if you are, you know, going to use the breathing, it's always nice, you know, you focus on the sound of your breath. That's the only thing you have to focus on, not the scary thoughts of, oh, my God, I have to pay this bill. I'm going to have to deal with somebody else. And my wife and I just had a fight and all these things going on. You're dealing with just the moment, the now, you know, focusing on that.
How do you shut everything else off? That's the hard part.
That is the hard part. And that's, you know, that's the behavioral and the cognitive stuff that comes into where you have to make a choice. All these little, you have to put things in their box. All these little thoughts are going on. All this stuff's going, you know, you have a stream of consciousness. Oh, what if this? Oh my God, I have to do this. I have to call. You know, I'm into writing things down, what you have to do or what you're worrying about, and put it away. Put it off to the side and then take moments to start focusing. Breathe or focus on a project. One thing that you're doing. That's why I say find something you like to do. I mean, my husband will come home and play a video game for 2 hours because he's so stressed out. And I know that's his downtime. And sometimes I just say, bye-bye. You know, he locks himself in his room. But that's his zone time. That's his brain time that he needs.
And I don't get a lot of that. I walk in and stuff happens. I've asked for that.
Right.
That time, but I don't always get it.
Okay, so I think it's important for you to, you know, make a point and draw boundaries and say, I do need downtime because I will help you with this and I will focus on this and we'll talk about this, but I need a good hour to just chill. And you do whatever you do. Go online, play a game. Don't do work. You know, you can do work later. Do something that makes you feel good. Go to the gym for an hour or take a walk. If you live
at the gym. At the gym.
I do too. I know. But you know, maybe take a walk if you're in a cool neighborhood or something. Just take a walk, and just put some headphones on. You know, take your iPod with you and hear some good tunes and just, you know, things that'll make you defocus. I have clients who love to draw. They're artists, or they love to write. They journal their feelings. They write their stuff out.
That's a good one. I like that idea.
You know, or writing out their plans for the future. But again, there we go again. We're focusing on our, you know, what we need to do. So things that are enjoyable. Go to the movies. Take more time out for you. Go find bargains.
The movies are $12
I know. Go to the bargain matinee. Go to the matinees. You know, there's some of these theaters that are, you know, that are cheaper that you can go to.
Right.
And just get out. Walk. Get out in nature. Go to a park. Go to the beach. Walk around. Breathe the air. Do your breathing. Do your like meditation that we talked about, you know, in terms of the autogenic, you know, treatment, autogenic therapy for you to focus on parts of your body to relax. You've got to do for you. And there's a lot of cheap things you can do. You don't have to spend money.
Right.
You don't have to go to the spa. You don't have
to. But I prefer to.
Oh, don't we all?
Right.
So,
well, Dr. Michelle, you've been very helpful.
Good. Well, thank you so much for calling in, John.
And thank you. I'll give you an update.
Oh, would
you know how things are doing?
Would you call me back? I would appreciate that. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling, John. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
All righty. That was nice. I hope he feels better. You know, so many people are experiencing what John's going through right now. I mean, really, that, like I said, is one of the most common things that I hear. You know, they walk into my office, they sit down, I go, what's going on? I got to pay some bills. I can't do it. Okay. I'm not your financial advisor. But I'm here for you. So if you want to dump for the next hour on financial issues, go for it. But let's talk about some of the feelings you're feeling, and let's work through some of the things you could do to take control within you so you'll feel better, like I just suggested to John on the air. All right. If you'd like to call me, you can still do so. We've got some time left here. On the couch with Dr. Michelle, that's me, your friendly psychologist. The phone number. That would be nice to give you that number. It's area code 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 in our beautiful studios here in Southern California. By the way, all of those out there who are really cold today in different parts of the country, I want you to know that it's 86 degrees and sunny. Now it's time for another issue of Celebrities with Issues. Boy, we have a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff in the last couple of weeks from celebrities who've really screwed things up for themselves. And I don't mind talking about it because, hey, it makes news. It's fun. It's fun to defocus on. Oh, by the way, if you want to contact me and write me, you can do so on my website. You can find me, drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle2lstherapy.com. See what I'm about, and you can contact me, and I'll answer your problems, or we talk about relationships, issues, anything you may have, at my email address, which is docmichelle@aol.com. That would be really nice if you would like to get some help. All right. Now it's time for Celebrities with Issues. Okay, you've probably already heard actor Kiefer Sutherland is going to be charged for allegedly, I love the way they say allegedly, although there were 35 witnesses, for allegedly headbutting fashion designer Jack McCullough. According to TMZ.com, TV's Jack Bauer, yeah, Kiefer Sutherland, will be charged with misdemeanor assault. You know, that's some heavy crap. Misdemeanor assault, that's some, he headbutted real hard. He's being charged for the incident, which supposedly took place Monday night during the New York City Met Costume Institute gala. Sutherland supposedly intervened. He came in between a couple when he thought McCullough had pushed actress Brooke Shields. All righty. So he thought the designer pushed Brooke Shields. The 24, as it's called, show, actor, Sutherland, is accused of headbutting McCullough after he refused to apologize to the actress. But Brooke Shields' camp is denying that McCullough did anything wrong, saying that the headbutt was unprovoked. So she's saying, you know, I was hanging out with Jack McCullough and he didn't do anything. But oh, here comes Kiefer, probably drunk again. He has lack of impulse control sometimes, and he gets out of hand, and so he kind of gets violent. How do I know that? Well, he already has. He's on probation for DUI here in L.A. He's done that before. So a rep for the L.A. City Attorney's Office informed TMZ that they'll contact New York police and the district attorney before deciding if they will try to revoke his probation that he's already supposed to be on. So we'll see how that goes. You know, why do people do that when they're really successful? They have the world right now because it's very tough out there, as we were just talking about economically. Like Kiefer, it's very tough out there for other people, but he's very successful. Why do people do self-destructive things? Why do you do self-destructive things? What is so exciting about getting down and in trouble and feeling bad? Or, of course, like I said, he may still be, you know, having issues with substance abuse, which is really tough to get out of that cycle. He could be having to go into rehab again. I don't know. I don't know. But there you go. That's Kiefer Sutherland's latest. Also, it's time for checking out Judge American Idol's Judge Paula Abdul's recent admission that she's finally free of prescription drugs for the first time in 12 years. If you read her new interview with Ladies Home Journal, she says she decided to enter a rehab facility out here to beat her addiction to heavy-duty painkillers. And Paula says, quote, it was excruciating, but at my very core, I did not like existing the way I'd been. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation over Abdul's sobriety after she appeared kind of sluggish. You've seen her on American Idol. She was kind of sluggish, and she kind of body language kind of moves around, and she rolls her eyes and stuff like that. But she said she's never shot an episode of American Idol while being under the influence. But she does admit that after being diagnosed with a chronic pain condition back in 2005, she started wearing a patch that would deliver pain medication. Okay, patches do get into your bloodstream and they do make us a little woozy sometimes. So anyway, she said that the, you know, having the pain combined with many sleepless nights could have caused people to think she was high while on the air. But she says no, she was not. But she said she was a long time ago in another interview. She had been taking pills. But okay, we'll take her for her word. It's a cool interview in Ladies Home Journal. What else did I want to read you? We'll talk about Chris Brown. You know about Chris Brown. Come on, we're all tired of that crap. But there's a new one. There's a new story about that. Sunday night is going to be a tense evening on NBC. I don't know if you watch the Celebrity Apprentice, but it is the season finale of Donald Trump's hit reality show. And, of course, there's no shortage of hostility between the remaining two contestants. We have professional poker player Annie Duke and comedian Joan Rivers. They've clashed for much of the season, along with her daughter, Melissa. Remember, Melissa, her daughter, was on the show. Joan Rivers attacked Annie's ethics and integrity as a person, and she called her Hitler. She's a nasty person. I interviewed Joan Rivers years ago. She was out schlepping for a film that she'd produced or something. It was a comedy. I don't want to date myself, but this was, I was working for ABC back in San Francisco, and she came out to interview. She was not a nice person. She was a nasty person, and I'm a very nice person, and I'm very accommodating to people when I interview them, and I respectfully ask what they do and do not want to be asked, especially if they're promoting something. I don't want to put them on the spot, and I did that, but she was still rude to me. She was very rude to me. She had a sense of entitlement. She thought I was way too young to be interviewing her, that I had no experience. What'd she call me? She didn't call me Hitler. I'm lucky. I wasn't like Annie Duke. But she called me a shiksa. You look like a shiksa, but you have a Jewish last name. What's up with that? She thought she was being funny, but she just kept pushing. And then she called me Miss Goyim. That was like the end of the... It was very rude to me. I mean, you know, I shouldn't be so sensitive. It's my issue, I guess. But she was rude. So that is truly her colors. That's how she is. So anyway, for their final challenge this Sunday, Joan and Annie will have to utilize their former competitors to compete the task and impress Donald Trump. So along with becoming the next Celebrity Apprentice, the winner will also receive a $250,000 prize. And that's for the charity of their choice. They're doing this for charity. So it's going to be a three-hour season finale, so I'm promoting that for them. Thank you. Enough of that. Oh, you know what? I also have the list of the best and worst celebrity mom. Folks took part in the ParentDish.com's Mother's Day poll. So who wins the prize for the best? Which star is the best mom? Alrighty, according to the Mother's Day poll, Jennifer Garner is the winner at 37%. Okay. Next to that, Michelle Obama came in closely, 27%, as the best mom. Mother's Day poll. Reese Witherspoon coming in at 26%, not bad. Gwen Stefani, not too many votes, but she came in behind at 6%. And then sixth on the list, last but certainly not least, Angelina Jolie at 4%. Come on, we had to give her some kudos. She's adopting a lot of kids, and she's wonderful. She's really hanging in there. She's a good mommy, so we think. All righty. Also in the poll, who is the best celebrity stepmom? Jada Pinkett Smith. Coming in there almost 70%. Not bad. Best celebrity stepmom number two, Katie Holmes. 17%. Justine Simmons, 7%. Coming in at number five, we have Gisele Bündchen, 4%. And Brooke Sheen came in at 3%. Celebrity stepmom. All right, here we go. You know who won this one. Who is the worst celebrity mom? Worst celebrity mom is Courtney Love, coming in at 32%. And she ties with Dina Lohan, 32%. Number three, the worst celebrity mom, coming in at a close 27%, is Britney Spears. Worst celebrity mom, number five, Sarah Palin. Number four, Sarah Palin. Worst celebrity mom, number six, Kate Moss. Also on the poll, they ask, which celebrity would you feel most comfortable leaving your kids with? And coming in at number one was Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi. They're fun. That'd be a lot of fun, huh? Coming in next was Jennifer Aniston. She'd be kind of a cool person to leave your kids with. She seems like a nice person. Rachel Ray came in at third. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt together, who seem like they're not together, but supposedly are together, came in next in number fourth place. And Oprah Winfrey was number five on the list of which celebrity would you feel most comfortable leaving your kids with. So that was kind of cool. Those polls are kind of fun. I don't know how you feel about some of that stuff, but that's cool. Who else? Oh, I wanted to talk about some of the other celebrities with issues. John Gosselin, the star of the TLC docudrama John and Katie Plus Eight. He's going through some controversy right now over reports of an extramarital affair. See, I can't even say it. It's too scary. The new issue of Us Weekly cites several sources who tell the magazine that the reality TV family man has been having an affair with third grade school teacher Deanna Hummel. Hummel's own brother and roommate, Jason, tells Us Weekly that his sister is a nice girl and nutty homewrecker. But he says the relationship she's in is not healthy for her. Now, what? Okay. She's not a homewrecker, but it's not very healthy. Hummel says John and Deanna met at a lounge in mid-January and that John began pursuing his sister relentlessly soon after. Relentlessly. And they've been seen several places. But they're just pals. All right. I'll stay out of that. Other celebrity issues. Michael Jackson is facing another lawsuit, this time from his own publicist. Not good financially for the King of Pop. His former rep, Ramon Bain, is suing him for $44 million. So he's going to have to sell Neverland again. He took it back, right? They gave it back to him. In a statement, Bain writes that Jackson chose not to honor the financial obligations of their contractual relationship. Her many attempts to resolve the money matters have been ignored by Michael, she says. And Ramon Bain says she's suing him. Her job duties consisted of arranging housing for Michael, paying his bills, running his companies, along with many other things. She says, I'm, quote, sincerely disappointed in Mr. Jackson's failure to honor his obligation. So poor Michael is in trouble again financially. Oh, God. Who else? More celebrities in trouble. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about Chris Brown just for a little bit. Chris's lawyer is continuing his attempt to find out who leaked information in the alleged beating case. According to TMZ.com, Mark Garagos has filed legal papers requesting that LAPD turn over documents surrounding the matter. The big issue is that photo that everybody's seen, allegedly, we've all seen the photo. What's up with that? Allegedly showing Brown's then-girlfriend Rihanna battered and bruised. Garagos said that he plans to file a motion to dismiss the charges against Brown if he can prove misconduct on the part of the LAPD. They're trying to find out who released those pictures. Chris Brown, by the way, is accused of felony assault and making criminal threats after a February incident with Rihanna. Allegedly, the two got into an altercation in the early hours of February 8th. Rihanna's reported to have emerged from Brown's car with cuts and bruises to her face. And he has pleaded not guilty in the matter. So there you go. Not guilty. What else? Well, we have Kirstie Alley. She's coming clean about her weight gain. And, you know, I really like her because she's honest. She's really cool. And she was, you know, the former Jenny Craig pitch woman. She's beautiful. She really is. But she's, you know, put on some weight again. And she's ballooned to like 228 pounds. And she said that she kind of abandoned her workout regimen and opted for Chinese takeout and pasta. Hey, sounds good to me. So she wants to get back on track again and plans to hire a trainer and sign up for a triathlon. Good for her. She's really tall. She's like 5'8". And she wants to get back down to 128 pounds. That's very slim for 5'8". Anyway, she says she likes the way she looks back down there. So anyway, you can see her interview with People Magazine this Friday. I don't think it's in there today. Is it in there today? No. Yes, it's in there today. So you can see her interview and what she's been going through. I like Kirstie Alley. Good for you, girl. I wish you much success on your diet because you're cool. And this is Dr. Michelle with you. You know what? I gotta go. Wow, we're signing off. Thank you so much for being on the couch with me. It's always, as usual, been a pleasure. If you'd like to find me, you can check out my website, drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Write me. You got problems, issues. We'll do it on the air if you'd like. That's cool, too. I'll share some stuff with you if you want to get some help. It's docmichelle@aol.com. All right. Have a great week. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling. And you can hang out on the couch still if you'd like, because I'm here for you. And as I always say, do take care of yourself, please. Bye-bye.